What's that? It's Queequeg's voice, Captain. He sighted a whale.
White whale, off starboard.
Oh, white whale.
Hear that, Mr. Ismail? A white whale!
Captain Ahab!
Remember those characters, Queequeg, Ishmael, and Captain Ahab, who sailed the seas for one purpose only, to find and kill a white whale?
Sure, they're from Moby Dick. Tell it again. Tell it again. Great stories we all love, dramatized for you each week at this time. Today, Moby Dick by Herman Melville, and we tell it again. His name was Ishmael. He was young, strong, and had the smell of the sea in his blood. He had everything an adventurer needs except for one thing, experience. But if he'd had that, he would never have opened the door of the Spouter Inn in New Bedford, Massachusetts. That night, many years ago. The sign above the inn creaked back and forth as the wind blew against it. And underneath the word Spouter Inn, he was able to make out another name in the dim light. Proprietor Peter Coffin.
Yes?
Oh, I didn't see you.
Well, you do now.
I'd like a room, if you please.
All filled up.
Oh, wait, surely you have a place for one more. I traveled a long way and I'm very tired.
Run away from home, have you?
Why, I... No. No, of course not.
Ever been to sea?
Well, no.
Well, I can give you a bed in another man's room.
Well, that's fine. I won't mind if he won't.
Come this way. He's a harpooner.
Oh, well, are you sure I won't be disturbing him?
No, don't think so. He might even like you. He's a native, but harmless. Just don't be frightened of him, son.
Well, I wouldn't want to...
Here we are. To the right there. Open the door.
But I...
Open the door.
Well, there's no one here.
He'll be back later. Went out trying to sell it.
I beg your pardon?
Come in. I said he's out. Went out to peddle it. But it's no use. Market's overcrowded now. You won't find a buyer. Just make yourself comfortable. Put your things there.
Good night. Excuse me, but...
Yes?
I thought there was a great demand for whalebone and oil and fish.
Didn't say there wasn't.
Oh, I thought you did. The native, you said he wouldn't be able to sell his catch, that the market was overcrowded.
It is. For what he's selling.
Oh? Well, what is he trying to sell?
Heads.
Heads?
That's right. Good night.
Heads.
Ishmael undressed, climbed into bed, and pondered the words of the landlord. What kind of a man could this native be who sold heads? Well, he wasn't long in finding out, for just as he was about to fall asleep, the door burst open. And the native strode into the room. He was a massive figure of a man. His skin was a deep copper color, and each cheek was painted with three long yellow stripes. His head was bald except for a small pigtail that sprouted from the top of his skull. He wore no clothes except for a loincloth. And in his hand, he carried a head.
Hold there! Hold there!
It's only me, Ishmael.
Ishmael?
Yes, I'm your roommate. The landlord said I could sleep here. I won't disturb you, I hope.
Roommate? You're Queequeg. Roommate?
Yes, that's right.
Hold this.
What?
Hold. Queequeg, light.
You mean the head?
Don't be afraid. Head no bite. Head dead. Roommate. Ishmael. Queequeg think he like you.
The head was a small, shriveled souvenir taken by Queequeg from a tribe of pygmies. It didn't look real and resembled a toy. So Ishmael soon lost his fear and distaste of it, as he did of Queequeg. In fact, by the time the sun rose the next morning, Ishmael and Queequeg had become fast friends.
So you want to be sea fella, huh?
Uh-huh.
Pass salt, kindly.
Oh, here you are. Yes, I'd like to put out with a ship. A whaler, preferably.
Whaler? Queequeg, harpooner. Me best harpooner in world. Kill big whale. Hit spot on deck with harpoon from 40 paces.
I wish we could sail together, Queequeg.
You good fella. Queequeg like. Queequeg fix.
Well, I see you two are getting along all right, eh?
What? Oh, yes, fine. Just fine, don't we, Queequeg?
That'll be a shilling for the bed and another for breakfast.
Oh, here you are.
You're here, whaling ship in dock?
Whaling ship?
You don't understand English?
Yes, I understood you. There's a whaling ship in dock, but I wouldn't advise it.
Queequeg, not ask for advice. Ask for information.
It's the Pequod.
Good. We eat. We go see Captain Pequod.
It ain't Captain Pequod, you native fool. It's the Pequod. And nobody but an idiot had put out with Old Thunder.
Old Thunder?
That's what they call him.
Old Thunder. Skipper of Pequod?
You got it right. And a worse skipper there ain't this side of Hades. He's a man with one leg and no soul.
What name this skipper, Old Thunder?
His name's Captain Ahab.
Well, we like see Old Thunder.
What? He means we want to see Captain Ahab.
Oh, you do you? What about?
Well, we want to put in with you.
Doing what?
Well, I can do most anything you need. And Queequeg here, he's a fine harpooner.
Harpooner? That native? What you call Queequeg?
I called you.
All right. I ain't looking for trouble. But I can't use a native. I'd have a place for you, son. But you'll have to get rid of your friend.
But Queequeg's a good harpooner.
That I'll believe when I see it. Queequeg, sure.
Hey, wait a minute. Come back here.
Queequeg, borrow a harpoon. What?
Hey, what's a crazy fool going to... Watch what you're doing with that harpoon.
Better. These small, tart spots. End of deck.
Yes, I see it. What do you think you're...
Queequeg, sure. You suppose tar spot, eye of whale. What?
Bullseye, Queequeg, bullseye.
Well, I'll be it. All right. You're both signed on. I'm Starbuck, first mate. Come below, I'll show you your quarters.
Mr. Mate.
Well?
Queequeg, glass, look, see, Old Thunder.
What?
He means we've heard so much about Captain Ahab, we were wondering if he's around.
You two want to ship out on the Pequod or not?
Why, yes, certainly.
Then stop worrying about Captain Ahab. You do your business with me, Starbuck. You've got no business with the captain of the Pequod. Understand?
Yes, sir, of course.
All right, then. Come below.
The next day, the Pequod set sail for parts unknown. Ishmael was filled with the wonder of the sea, and his duties on board kept him too busy to worry about the mysterious Captain Ahab, or why the skipper hadn't been seen by the crew since they had left New Bedford. But Queequeg, having been signed on as a harpooner, had more time to think about the situation. And the more he thought, the more his native mind told him that there was something wrong, something very wrong.
What's the matter, Queequeg?
Queequeg, worried.
What about?
Queequeg, sail on much boat, banana, cargo, whaler. Always see captain. Captain always on bridge. Captain set course. Pequod not like that. No course. No captain. Queequeg, no like.
Well, maybe he's sick.
Queequeg, no like sail with
stick, Captain.
All right, you lubber. What are you mumbling about? Heave to, mister. Clear the deck.
Mr. Starbuck.
Well?
We see Captain soon.
I told you before, you filthy swab, the captain's no concern of yours. Now forget it and get to work. Man the capstan. Heave to and spring your rubbers, or I'll break your backbones. Now jump!
Days passed, then weeks, and still the Pequod sailed aimlessly through the still blue waters. The old sailors among the crew could tell that she had no set course, but they said nothing. Sweetgrass fumed and fretted, but received only curses and impatient mutterings from Starbuck whenever he dared mention the peculiar behavior of the ship and the fact that none of them had ever seen the Pequod's captain. Then, one day, as Ishmael and Queequeg were standing near the bridge on deck, a sound familiar to whaling vessels greeted their ears.
Well, now Queequeg get to work.
Well, away!
In a flash, the deck of the Pequod was a mass of activity. Sailors ran to and fro, lowering small boats, selecting harpoons, and preparing for the inevitable order they knew must come. Lower away, get the whale. But in the midst of the activity, as the men were about to lower the boats, as Queequeg took his harpoon in hand, and as Ishmael's heart pounded with the thrill and excitement of his first catch, a tall, gaunt figure strode from the cabin and mounted the bridge. His eyes gleamed like fire, even in the bright sunlight. His skin was like parchment, old before its time. And in place of his right leg, he wore a stump, a peg leg, made of whalebone.
Mr. Starbuck?
Aye, sir.
What is this infernal racket?
It's the man, sir. They've sighted a whale.
A whale?
It's just a whale, sir. I've looked.
Stop them at once.
Aye, aye, sir.
All hands up! All hands! You hear me? All hands, I said, you lovers!
Aye, sir. What now?
I will speak to them.
Avast! No! The captain has something to say!
Men, you see this? It's a priceless Spanish gold piece. It goes to the first one of you that sights a certain whale in these waters.
I sighted the whale, Captain. I sighted it off Stabber just now.
I am not interested in the whale you sighted. He's black, black and ugly like all other whales, and as valuable. This piece is for the man who sights a white whale. Hear me well. It's a white whale we're after. One whale. One killer whale. T'was he that brought me to this dead stump I stand on now. T'was he took me leg. I care not for other whales, the royal of bone. I want a white whale. And I'll chase him round Good Hope, round the Horn and the Norway Maelstrom. I'll chase him through the flames of Hades and all the tortures of the cursed, until he spouts black blood and rolls on his back. The white whale, men! That's what you've shipped for! Moby Dick!
The worst. Their captain was the legendary Old Thunder, Captain Ahab, a madman who years before had lost his leg to a white whale called Moby Dick by those who pursued him. This was no ordinary voyage to obtain oil and bone. This was a hunt that could result only in the death of Moby Dick or a watery grave for the crew of the Pequod.
Queequeg.
Huh? Why you not sleep, Ishmael? You'll be dead on your feet tomorrow.
We'll all be dead unless someone can talk the captain out of this wild chase. We've been gone for 6 months now. The hold is leaking, provisions are scarce. The crew's in a nasty mood, Queequeg. I've been talking.
Queequeg, no. Nothing to do.
But if someone could only get the captain, Ahab, and talk to him.
Captain Madman. Think only of Queequeg. No, have words.
Revenge?
Revenge. Revenge on whales.
Not right. Whale no ask be killed. Captain hunt whale. Moby Dick too smart.
It's the men I'm worried about, Queequeg. If Ahab doesn't let them hunt other whales, get some oil in a hold or turn about for home, there's no telling what they'll do.
Men do nothing. Men, sailors, take orders. You sleep now.
But Queequeg was wrong. The men were in a nasty mood. They mumbled among themselves and plotted and planned. They knew where the arms and ammunition were hidden, and they resolved to get their hands on it. Inevitably, word of the plot came to the attention of Starbuck, the first mate.
Aye!
Excuse me, Captain.
Yes, Starbuck. Any news? Have you sighted him?
No, sir. I came to warn you.
What was that?
I came to tell you, sir, that unless you put about for home, or turn this into a normal trip, hunt for a whale, any whale, put some oil in the hold, give the men some reason for going on, you'll have a mutiny on your hands.
Oh. Well, thank you, Mr. Starbuck. I'm grateful for your concern, and I'll take it that you've done your duty as you saw it.
Aye.
Now that you've done it, get back to your work.
But, Captain...
Get back! Mutiny, is it? I've spent 10 years and come 100,000 miles to get that monster. You think I'll turn back now?
But the men...
The men! Let them stand on deck and out yell the typhoons. Let their hunger gnaw at their bellies and their skin shrivel and die as mine has. You think I care about the men? Now get on deck, you pirate, or I'll blast you between the eyes with this musket.
Aye, aye, sir.
Far from changing the captain's mood, Starbuck's plea only served to spur him on. The following day, Ahab appeared on the bridge himself and never left it. He ate, drank, and half-dozed from his position of vantage and treated his men as if they were scum underfoot. On and on the Pequod sailed deeper into the Pacific. A wild chase such as the passing waters had never before known. Rolling and churning like a thing alive, the ship plowed through a raging sea, driven by a maniac who thought only of revenge. Revenge against a white whale.
Queequeg.
What?
Starbuck tried to talk to the captain and it didn't help.
No help. Nothing helped. Nothing but... Kill white whale.
But we might go on like this for years. Someone's got to make
them. Ishmael! Ishmael! Where you go? No! Ishmael, come back!
Captain Ahab.
Who is it?
My name is Ishmael, sir. I'm one of the hands.
Hands? What do you mean coming on the bridge? Mutiny? Get off the
No, port. Sir. No mutiny. I'm not armed. I came to talk to you, sir.
What do you want?
I don't want anything, sir. I just wanted to talk to you.
Talk to me?
Yes, sir.
Come here. Come closer in the light so I can see you. What? Why, you're a boy.
Yes, sir. By your measurements, I suppose I am. But I have a great love for the sea. And for anyone as kind and good... and wise as you.
Kind? Good? Wise?
Yes, sir. All my life I've dreamed of going to sea. It's my ambition to have a boat of my own and sail her over the world. Oh, you must have had a wonderful life, Captain.
A wonderful life? It's been... It was a wonderful life for a time. My family used to wait for me on the dock when I sailed into port with a hold full of oil and a rich cargo.
Your family?
Aye. My wife and me. I'll have no more of this. Get off the bridge.
Don't you see, Captain? It was a good life, a wonderful life, until you became obsessed with this wild desire for revenge.
I'll have your throat.
Don't do it, Captain. Turn back now before it's too late. Or let us hunt whale, any whale. Fill the hold with oil, rich, good oil, and return home as you used to with a fine cargo. Your wife and child must be waiting for you.
Their wife and child are dead.
dead?
From the moment I swore to kill Moby Dick, I put everything else out of my mind. My wife, the child, they turned against me.
No, it was you turned against them. They're likely back in New Bedford now, waiting for you.
Waiting for me?
Many men have known adversity, lost arms and legs, fought all their lives to achieve one thing and died unhappy. Is it worth it?
My wife?
Why not turn back? We'll find many whales on the return voyage.
My son.
We'll fill the hole with oil and lower sail in New Bedford, happy, successful men.
But I...
What's that? A whale. We can begin now.
I told them never to call unless they sighted a white whale.
The men are over-anxious.
White whale of Sabbath!
White whale. Oh, white whale.
Captain, no!
A white whale!
Ahab rushed from the bridge to investigate the alarm. The lookout had not called over anxiously. For there, not 1,000 yards from the ship, a whale spouted its lungs into the cold night air. And it was white. White as the driven snow. Captain Ahab had found Moby Dick. At last.
Down, topgun and sail. Stand by with three boats.
This is Talbot.
Aye, sir.
Stay on board. Keep the ship.
Aye, sir.
Lower away. Blast her. Lower away.
Ishmael, Queequeg, three other members of the crew, and Captain Ahab lowered themselves in a small boat and rowed toward the great white hulk of Moby Dick. The whaleboat shot through the stinging sea, propelled by a tormented crew, urged on by a demented captain who now saw victory within his grasp.
Steady! Steady on the helm!
Queequeg!
What?
Look at Captain Ahab's face!
Your talk, Omar.
Captain Ahab stood in the boat like a man turned to stone. He clutched his harpoon and watched the monstrous white body of the whale as it turned the sea in front of the small boat. Queequeg stood up and raised his own harpoon, but the captain turned on him with the fury of a maniac.
No! I'll have him... I'll have him with my own hands.
Queequeg, sure. Queequeg, go straight and sure.
Sit down. Down, I say. Have you waited 100 years for this moment? Have you lived, slept, breathed, eaten, and drunk the thought of having that beast before you? Down, I say. Closer, closer, Roman. 100 English pounds if you row me within striking distance.
For 3 days the men rowed until the muscles of their arms stood out like great ropes, sinews of steel glistening in the sun. Closer and closer they approached the white beast whose bulk filled the sky. The heavens opened as if in torment. And the sound of thunder echoed the roar of the pursued whale. Ahab placed the stump that was once a good right leg on the bow of the boat. His right arm drew back, the harpoon poised, but for a moment, and then he threw. Straight and through, the harpoon sailed through the air and buried itself deep in the white whale. The infuriated animal rose up into the air, then dove into the sea. The slack of the harpoon rope uncoiled from the boat, rolled toward the bow, and curled around the captain's neck like a snake.
Captain! Captain Ahab!
The captain clutched at his throat and went overboard.
He's coming around now. Here, drink this. You're on the Rachel, schooner out of New Bedford. You're lucky to be alive. Feel like talking?
Yes, I think so.
We saw a ship go down. Were you from it?
Yeah.
Fishing a whale?
Yes, sir. A white whale.
That's right. He upset a small boat, then turned on the schooner, attacked her. Looked like all hands were lost, except you.
All hands? Queequeg?
Who?
Are you certain all hands were lost?
Nothing but a lot of broken wood out there now. We searched for hours.
And Captain Ahab?
Ahab? Oh, it was the Pequod. So he finally found Moby Dick.
Yes, he found him. It would have been much better if he hadn't.
Ishmael was saved and returned to New Bedford by the schooner Rachel. In later years, he became a successful whaler and captain of his own ship. And he often returned to the scene of his first encounter with Moby Dick. Not to hunt the white whale, who was never seen again, but to think and ponder over the fate of Captain Ahab, his friend Queequeg, and the rest of the crew of the ill-fated Pequod. All he ever found were small birds that flew screaming over the endless reaches of the ocean, and the great shroud of the sea rolling on, as it has since the beginning of time. The story of Moby Dick was brought to life on Tell It Again by William Tracy as Ishmael. Others in the cast were Byron Kane as the landlord, Paul McGuire as Starbuck, Ken Harvey as Queequeg, and Marvin Miller, who was the narrator and played the role of Captain Ahab. Music was by Del Castillo. Sound effects were created by Bob Wendell, Bern Sturry, and Gene Twombly. Ralph Rose directed the players and wrote the free adaptation based on the novel by Herman Melville. Next week, Tell It Again will dramatize Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Join us then, won't you, when we tell it again. Mickey Rooney stars as Shorty Bell tonight over most of these stations. Hear Mickey Rooney as Shorty Bell tonight at its usual time. Murray Wagner speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.